This week on The Droids, episode 5 of Andor, The Axe Forgets. We never forget, though. We're talking all about Andor on The Droids. Welcome back to The Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast. Alongside Ryan, I am Mike. Just the two of us this time around.
Our little booster sound there was a little anemic.
Yeah, you know, we need something else there. You know what we need? We need the sound of the TIE fighter in this episode of Andor, mm-hmm. because that shook me deep down in my bones.
Maybe it was because,
but maybe it was because I was wearing, you know, noise-canceling headphones, but I have not felt that like tremor in my body from a piece of sound in a Star Wars in a long, long time. And I love the isolation. We're getting right into the episode, but like the isolation of just one TIE fighter almost made it much more imposing than the massive amount of TIE fighters.
TIE fighters, like in atmospheres, are always frightening, especially this series is giving them a very menacing, like, beast-like quality almost, you know?
Yeah, especially as they're in the distance sometimes and very, you know, you're almost waiting for the animal to turn.
Yes, it's very much like that. It's animalistic, which I think is very effective.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah, different terrain. It's going, man.
Well, before we get into this episode entirely, Chris, before we went on, he couldn't join, but had to make sure to call out, you know, one of the top listeners of the pod, Sean. And Ryan, you and I don't know anything about Sean, so I think you and I should just pontificate about who Sean is. My thought is that he listens to every episode that we do 4 times a piece, picks it apart, sends us emails that tells us where we actually slipped up, and, you know, we love that dedication from our audience. Thank you, Sean.
Thank you. We appreciate the listen.
You're not adding any ideas of who Sean is?
So is this, do we truly do not know who Sean is?
No, this is just a Chris, you know, hey guys, shout out Sean. Sean could be his tax guy, maybe.
Right.
You know,
I'd say Sean is either Chris's CPA.
Okay.
Or his family's florist.
Do you think, as the family's florist, he has long conversations with his disappointed mother over cereal?
As his family's florist? Now, this is a question, Mike. I don't think he does.
Well, because his mom's probably pretty proud of him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, getting a floral business going in this day and age? Deforestation, global warming, keeping like an indoor climate that you're growing life, floral life. What's there not to be proud of?
Yeah, that's a good point. And you know, knowing Sean, it's sustainable, right? And all sourced, where he's not making too big of an impact on the environment, and we applaud him for it.
There you go.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get into this episode. But I do think, Ryan, we didn't hear your thoughts on Aldani, episode 4. You know, if you briefly want to tell us your thoughts on that episode before we get into The Axe Forgets.
So, if I'm remembering correctly, it was the last episode where they revealed Stellan Skarsgård's wig.
Yes.
So that was a turn, and I respected it. We also, of course, got introduced to Mon Mothma in this capacity. We are familiar with her. I thought that. I love that reveal that Stellan Skarsgård's character has a completely different persona, mm-hmm. where he has to kind of practice in the mirror, and he puts on a wig and he deals in ancient artifacts that he sells to, the elite class on Coruscant. We return to Coruscant, and you know I love that, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
I love seeing Coruscant in this capacity. You know, we had Mon Mothma's husband, who has some questionably appropriating hair choices and wardrobe choices.
Well, and seems, I mean, you don't know. That could be stylish for this age of Coruscant.
Well, yeah, but, you know, in the context of our real world. But he... Mon Mothma, and this feeds into this week's episode. Mon Mothma's family just seemed like turds out there. They're just turds out there. Mm-hmm. They seem to, like, really enjoy the life that has been provided for them and have no interest in overturning anything.
Yep.
They seem very, very happy in their complacency.
Yep.
And, you know, complacency equals complicity, you know?
Yep, yep.
So maybe we'll see. Maybe we'll see them get their comeuppance.
I mean, to Mon Mothma's likely momentary sadness before she realizes that now she can focus on the full rebellion that she needs to.
And you know, we met the whole crew. Andor becomes Clem, and we meet the whole ragtag crew of rebels. And I think it's cool because it is very much like a proto rebellion. This is just people hanging out in the woods at this point.
Yep.
Alex Lawther, who I think is a great actor and I love. Desi from Girls and the guy from The Bear. There's a lot of striking blue eyes going around that camp. And you know, and we have I mean, now I'm just saying what happened in the episode, but the shadow of Saw Gerrera has appeared on the horizon.
Yeah, I mean, they've been mentioning, but not, we haven't gotten deep into it.
And I look forward to seeing the Boogalut.
Boogalut knows the truth.
I think, you know, and this carries on to my feelings about this episode. I think it's all going great. You know,
it
took a while to get into the rhythm of it because what originally seemed like stage setting, I'm realizing, is just like the show, which is actually more exciting.
It really is.
Because I'm so used to like the pace being like, oh, we'll have like a big, we'll hit a big note like every episode, blah, blah, blah. And then there will be a cameo. And then, but like, this is like the definition of a slow burn. And I think this episode really helped me like settle into it, understanding like the pace the show's moving at. Yeah. And not to say that last episode was mistaken. It's just that I had to learn how to watch it. And, you know, I think just the scenes are so compelling. The characters are really good. Everyone's saying interesting things. They're setting up a very, like, you know, high stakes mission.
Yeah.
That seems very, very tense.
Yeah. And I don't know if you heard,
they're working their way to it.
If you heard our episode last week, but when we talked about it, Chris and I mentioned how the way they're laying out the mission reminds me of Top Gun Maverick.
Yeah,
because you're going to get to this episode 6 where we're all racing against the clock and we've had the geography laid out for us. We know what their mission is. We know what the challenges are. I think that's going to pay off in dividends for them in episode 6.
I agree. I think that I had the same thought where I was like, oh, like they're really like making it clear what the mission's going to be in like little pieces. I think everybody's so compelling. And the world of Star Wars for the first time in a long time has been made really compelling because everywhere looks different. Everybody sounds different.
Yeah. And everybody has their own story and motivation and reason for being here on both sides of, you know, the Empire and the Rebellion. Like this episode especially gave a lot of like who you are, why you're here, what are you doing, and why does it matter that you're against the Empire? Because we spent more time learning that with the Rebellion and the group that Clem is with versus the Empire. I think we're still spending a little bit of time trying to get a sense of why Deirdre, I guess other than her goal to move up the ranks within the Empire, you know, her obsession with figuring out how this Rebellion is being plotted. But I'm sure we'll learn more as we go. I'm curious, though, how you feel, Ryan, and we've talked before the show even started about like no context viewing. I want this to be kind of the landmark. Like I want this to be a turning point. And not everything Star Wars needs to be the same. That's what's great about having this and having some of the other things. But to show that where we've seen missions in The Mandalorian that are similar to this, that are done in one episode, to spend 3 plotting out a mission and learning more about why it matters to all these characters and who they are. And when one of them inevitably perishes or something goes wrong, you know that drama is just going to hit more deeply than it does in watching it all be planned out in maybe a minute and a half of screen time before they actually execute it in the same episode in The Mandalorian, just made me want this to be the actual template going forward. And template's the wrong word, but like the way that they approach Star Wars, not in everything, but I just want more of this. It, to me, it is meaty. It is fulfilling. You talk about a full meal, what we've always talked about with The Last Jedi. Every time I watch an episode, I'm thinking back on the numerous, not set pieces, but scenes of talking where I feel like I learned more about the characters, the world, and reflected back on the world that we're living in. And it just felt so, again, enriching that I want that to continue. And I want more of that in our Star Wars. And we won't see it entirely, but my whole point of talking about that was, like, we talked about how there's not maybe the ancillary, you know, toys that are going to sell as much for Andor as some of the other things. You're not getting the week-to-week social media blitz or social media overreaction that comes with cameos. So while this show is great and lots of people are watching it, I wonder how what the reaction is like at Disney and Lucasfilm, where they're not overwhelming trending on Twitter. They're not having 15 dozen TikToks, you know, that all talk about the same moment.
Right.
I mean, 15 dozen, I'm talking about 15,000, whatever it is. So they're kind of losing a little bit of that word of mouth because of the slow burn, but don't change it. I love it. Like, hey, I don't want the social worthy talking point moment. I want, you know, a scene where a character that we don't know much about is trying to convince his subordinates that he would have nothing to do with the upcoming mission by telling them it's their idea to want time off to watch the festival that's about to happen and the lights in the sky.
Yeah, like, yeah.
That scene was so subtle and understated from Lieutenant Gorn. We didn't have anybody lay it out for us. We just watched the scene where he's talking with two subordinates and asking them about their plans and then telling them they need to come back and giving them an order to paint right now. And then they say, can we get time off? And then he says, well, you better paint it right after the next day. And it's just like this nice little workaround that you have this character give his own, well, foes the idea that, of course, he could have nothing to do with this, or that there's nothing to be expected and there's no reason to be concerned about why they're going to have a light staff during this moment because he's set it up perfectly. I love that. And yes, to me, I just don't, that's not social media fodder. And I want this show to be talked about enough and successful enough that Lucasfilm and Disney make much more of this type of show.
It's one of those things where the show just seems like steady, you know, where it's just like, every week is quality. It's not like this big splash point or flash point for like conversation. And, you know, I agree with you. Hopefully that's enough to like reach that. It's like, yeah, this was just like really good. And people seem to like it or whatever, you know, people were vocal about liking it, but it's interesting because it's like when a show spends four episodes setting up a mission and then like, you know, one episode with the mission. The show is telling you that setting up the mission was more important than the mission itself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
It's like the mission is the mission. It'll be like a heist, and I'm sure because they're doing all this build up and making it all clear that whenever that happens, the episode will be very probably be thrilling. I don't know, but I'm calling my shot. I think it'll probably be thrilling. Because we've had all of this buildup, but it's like the show is telling you that the mission is not the most important thing.
Yeah.
Where, and you know, Mandalorian is a show that I like very much. It's a very different kind of paced show, tonal show, that is more about like, what's the adventure this week?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that works in that show. It doesn't work so much in other shows that they've made, but like, whatever. I think that show's really successful at that style of storytelling, and I think that this show is very successful at this style of storytelling, which is truly, like, it becomes a rote thing to say because people say it about so much. It truly is a slow burn. And it seems to me, I don't know, it's just like, it just seems like a cut above to me in terms of character work, literal like dialogue, and then like the structural writing in terms of the construction is just so much more elegant. And I don't want to put too much of a value statement on that because Not, I don't think that because something's inelegant or more flashy the way the Mandalorian is, that it's any less good. It's just different.
I mean, it is a different experience in the sense of what you were talking about before visually. Like, there's an elegance to the way this is shot because, again, it's not on the volume. And
if it is, they're doing a very good job with it. I mean, I'm sure they probably have some with the volume, but like,
yeah, they probably have some moments.
It seems to me like they went to, you know, Iceland or wherever they are to shoot things. Yeah. Whether they did or not, they might be on the volume. If they are, then they're doing it better than I've seen a lot of shows do it.
I can't imagine that the scenes that we're seeing on Aldani are the volume. Like,
very surprised.
There's also just the spacing to it. Like, even when they're doing their marching in this episode, you know, they're not marching in a hallway that keeps turning into the same direction. Like,
yeah. No, I would be surprised. I just want to, like, I'm hedging my bets a little in case someone's like, actually, you know, like,
yeah, in reality, you missed it. This was all the volume. Well, let's talk a little bit more about some of the things that do occur in this episode. We start out with the family dynamic, and we kind of get just more of that with Cyril and his mom back down in the depths of the planet that he lives in. I enjoyed that.
An open invitation is no invitation at all.
Yeah, I love that.
What a great line.
There's been a number of great lines.
Any civilized person knows that an open invitation is no invitation at all.
What did you make of his mom?
I mean, that actress is great.
No.
It's like... I mean, it was like a thing where it's like, well, I see why he is how he is, you know, not that he's like her, but it was like a thing where it's like, all right, I get how this happened.
Well, you know, I mean, Cyril probably needs to go and find himself a Empire therapist. Let's just be
honest.
That's
right. I don't know if the
it's part of their health.
The IESB. I don't know what their mental health program is like.
I'm, you know, we got kind of just two scenes with him, and I'm really excited to see where his story goes, because that had nothing to do with the rest of the episode. We're just staying with this character because, you know, he's coming back in some way. And I'm curious, do you feel like where he ends up might be the complete opposite of where he began? And maybe we see him join up with the rebellion, but you know, this show continues to surprise me because I thought that he was on his path to, straightforward, the upstart, he's awful, he's a great villain. We'll see him just take on a role within the Empire and we're all going to hate him. That's not where it's gone at all. And I love that. So I have no idea what the direction they're taking.
I don't think he'll have I think he'll be like the wrench in the machine a little bit when the mission comes.
Okay.
We'll have a big turnaround from him, but maybe I honestly, it didn't even cross my mind. So maybe,
I mean, I don't think we're going to see him as much until like episode 10 of this, you know, I don't think episode 6 because you know, they're on the verge, the mission's starting for episode 6.
Right. And there's 12 episodes, right?
Yeah. We have 12. So it's going to be a little while before he kind of comes back into the mix. But we get the time that he spends with his mother. Then we go back and we spend more time on Aldani with the crew. You know, once again, we're into, you know, who did it better? Was it Adam Driver or the other cast member from Girls, Eben Moss-Bachrach, shirtless, standing in Star Wars? I imagine the
I'm ready to make a Driver. Call. I think Adam Driver did it better.
You think Adam Driver did it better?
Yeah. Not that, and there's no disrespect to... whatever the actor's name, Desi from Girls, but I think that Adam.
I mean, you mean Richie from The Bear, but sure.
I mean Richie from The Bear. Yeah, I'm putting my vote in for Driver.
I enjoy the interactions both times between Skeen and Clem. Again, I can't help but think of my, you know, woeful impersonation of Richie from The Bear, and just would be like, you know, Clem, we've got a system. It's a fucking system, Clem. But that's not where he ended up going.
I thought that was good. I don't think that's woeful at all.
You know, I'm not, you know. I
think you got
his quality. He's great in this. I like the you know, the kind of once over that he's doing early on in this and judging of Clem and sussing him out. And then where it comes down to, they both, you know, reveal what their true intentions are. And they have their confrontation before kind of coming to an understanding of where they're both at and what they're doing.
I love the dichotomy or the tension that they have between them, where he's obsessed, where what's the character's name? Not Clem, the other
Skeen?
Guy. Skeen. Skeen. Skeen's obsessed and thinks the most important thing is why they're doing this, what they're, you know, what everyone's personal reasons are, if they're dedicated enough, and Andor is much more utilitarian, and as much as like he's like, why do you care? Like, who cares why I'm doing this? You need it done. Yep. Which I think is very consistent with the Andor that we come to know, you know?
Yep.
And I think that that is, you know, they both obviously. I'm not sure I think Skeen has that good of a point, but, it, you know, it's like he's saying that, like, your ideologies are important in a time like this, which is true. Yeah. But Andor is saying, like, listen, you have tools. If you need tools, you need to use them. And it's like you can't ask the tools if they're doing it for the right reasons, because who cares? I think that's, you know, hey, man, those are two characters with opposing ideologies that leaves room for both of them to learn and grow. You know what I'm saying?
Well, and you know, I kind of almost, I'm excited to see where the relationship goes. I would imagine from here there could be more of a bond as they grow. Like, I, you know, at some point it just feels like there's been two episodes now of everybody kind of at odds, and we've gotten little hints of them starting to respect one another, and, you know, that hopefully is going to lead to a successful mission. I imagine it will, but I do think there also could be that long-lasting, you know, bond that begins, and maybe we see some of these early characters from Aldani, you know, go forward in these two seasons of Andor as part of the rebellion with Cassian, mm-hmm. you know, like him getting his ragtag bunch together. I think there was a couple of moments that, you know, really continue to give us more of learning about where other members of that group are coming from, such as Nemec, as you said, Alex Lothar. There was almost like a political current climate dump from Nemec, where he's talking about technology, where he's talking about oppression and talking about tyranny and the empire. And I kind of loved it, but there was a moment where I was like, that was a little bit too fast for me to get everything that you were saying in that instance.
Yeah, Alex Lothar is good for something like that.
Well, yeah, like because you're getting a moment where, okay, yes, if you're running a rebellion, using old technology to not be able to have the Empire track you is valuable. And let's comment on how us all having devices that can track us no matter where we are, and maybe having something older could be a better way for all of us to exist right now and to be off the radar of a system that is in a lot of ways oppressing people. And then you go down the road of have 40 atrocities so you can hide one, because you can't deal with the issue of having one atrocity, but you can do a lot better with 40. Felt very much connected to exactly how the Trump administration existed
for several years.
And it all felt appropriate for the setting they were in, mm-hmm. and appropriate for the holding up of the mirror to our own world that we get from a show like this and from what Star Wars has been, because Star Wars has always been political.
It has. And good sci-fi or fantasy, you know, depending on how you supposed to do that. just so people know, it doesn't have to, but it is supposed to.
You sure it's not supposed to just blow things up and look cool?
Check the receipts. It's kind of like why it was made that way.
Yeah.
It's so people could get away with saying the things they couldn't say in a different setting. So,
Well,
love it. And I love Alex Lothar. What a compelling actor.
What are the things that his career stand out to you? I've obviously seen him in a few things and seen him. But I don't, like, the top memory to me is more like Imitation Game. But
Imitation Game is a thing that I know him from. He was in an adaptation of Howard's End that he was great in. He was in a show called The End of the Fucking World.
I have seen that, yeah.
A very messed up episode of Black Mirror that he was great in. I'm a fan.
Yeah, well, and I'm excited to see where they go with his character.
He's been
as well.
16. He's been around 16 years old for about 10 years.
At this point, some people can play that. They can make that work for them. I think one of the other interesting things here is, again, we see the deficiency and the missing skill set of what they need from Clem because and from Cassian, where they're talking about the ship and how he talks about how are you actually going to get up in the air. Like, you have no idea how to function in this. What would you have done? Their mission would have failed if he wasn't mm-hmm. there. And then also when they're doing their training and even talking about, like, oh, you're left-handed, you're right-handed, and just seeing the wealth of experience that has led to his own knowledge of judging and sizing up people that could then be valuable in what he's going to offer to this mission and the rebellion at large.
And you got to love a moment like that where someone gets to, like, show off their observational skills.
Yeah.
A real Good Will Hunting moment, you know?
I mean, the interesting thing, again, about this episode is that you could really say there's not a ton that happened, but in reality, it's just these little moments that continue to illuminate so much for us. So, I think we're kind of working our way through it relatively quickly because there's not we haven't really missed as much as we've jumped around a little bit. Otherwise, you know, again, some sort of slow moments that really played out to me is a conversation between the lieutenant and his subordinate on top of, you know, the dam or wherever they are, talking about what do they plan to do? What do they look for when they're here? Just sort of the familiarity there that, again, if this goes wrong, there's some friendship in some way, despite the, you know, nature of the Empire. How does that reflect? How does that come to pass when those two mm-hmm. meet on the opposite sides? Because as much as he may try to conceal it, you have to imagine that the lieutenant is going to not walk away from this unscathed.
Right. Yeah. You know. To make an omelet, you know?
Yeah. Well, of course. You know, and then throughout, we just kind of make our way through what we've talked about with the more of the training, the confrontation, getting to where we're spending more time with Mon Mothma and her husband. And I don't know how you felt, Ryan, but I've wondered this for a while because obviously the Coruscant shots and the shots where they're in their speeder going from destination to mm-hmm. destination, that's love clearly the volume or the green screen or whatever it might
yeah,
be.
Yeah.
I'm so fascinated that this looks so good because keep the shots tight. Let us focus on what matters and the characters in the foreground, and we still can feel the atmosphere and the world you're creating around it without us having to see the seams of them walking across a room that never actually is a room. Like I just think that they're making good choices and like, all right,
this is what the volume is great for.
Yeah.
Where you would have to use a green screen, you no longer have to.
Yep.
You know, like when you're flying in a speeder car on Coruscant, that's a great place to use the volume.
But it looked beautiful. It looked
great.
It looked really good. It made me again just sit there and kind of marvel at it and feel like I can envision sitting in that speeder. Like, it doesn't feel unrealistic.
It was very tactile. The show has a lot of textures, honestly.
I mean, Ryan, I've had a lot of drivers in my life, and I've sat in the back seat. And
Adam
and,
drivers?
Yes. Oh, if only. If only I had a lot of ABBA drivers in my life. And so, you know, I love sitting in the back seat and having my high-minded conversations.
Yeah, and then being like, Don, could you take the highway, please? Or like whatever. I thought that was a nice detail that she like knows everybody's name.
Yeah.
And her husband's a real POS that doesn't know anybody's.
Yeah. And we have not seen, you know, I can't remember the last episode, they were setting up for the party they were supposed to have, and then that party scene never happened, right?
We never saw the party, no.
Okay. I thought that was.
I don't
odd.
Know if
I was
we have yet to.
We were gonna see it.
I don't know if we have yet to, or if they were just like, "There's a party happening." I mean, maybe they're really building up to this party. You know what I mean?
Well, it looked like they had taken down all of the decorations, and you talked a little bit more about that early scene between Mon Mothma and her daughter and her husband, and I'm just sort of. I wonder how much they're, you know, writing from real life where, again, it feels like a dynamic of, oh, this could just be any family in the real world. And there is that, interactions that you have on a daily basis between family where things just don't go the way that you expect and the way that she wants them to go. And it just doesn't feel to me like Star Wars because it's so... In a good way, in the best
way. Yeah, in a cool way. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And
very rarely in Star Wars, aside from Luke, do you see like a teenager that's like, whatever. You know?
But to see a character that's meant to be one of the heroes of the rebellion for us deal with her own personal strife, then in a lot of ways, you don't know if she's in the right or the wrong. You don't know if she's made things harder for her family by being the person that she is. And the toll that it can take on people you love to also be trying to do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
Another interesting yeah. thing to explore with all this.
It's the show is really rich. It just really is. Like every scene is good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like every scene has a dynamic. Is where like I know that seems like it should be baseline. You know, but it's a thing that we've been missing from time. You know, at least like not just a dynamic. Like every scene is giving us information that like we don't have, as opposed mm-hmm. to like reinforcing information that we've had for years.
Mm-hmm.
Like you know, and I know that this scene meant things to people, so you know I don't want to dismiss it. But like, hey, like you know that Obi-Wan and Anakin were really close once. You know, like it's like yeah, we knew that. There were seven seasons of a television show and three movies to show us that. You know.
Well, you know, just got to make sure that you hammer home the point. This ends with Luthen trying to check in via radio, whatever contraption he's got in his antiquities den, which really, who's got the better antiquities den? Is it, you know, the Athorian on Batuu or is it Luthen? That's my question. Doc Ondar. What do you think, Ryan? Is it Doc Ondar or is it Luthen?
Oh, that's a great question. I'd say... you know what? Luthen probably has a better collection, but Doc Ondar is always selling. You know what I mean?
Mm, yeah, at a high price. I can tell you.
That's well, yeah. That's
Did you notice on the shelf of Luthen a certain Indiana Jones collectible?
No, is there one?
Yeah, the Shankara Stones.
Really? That's awesome. Which, after I just said this whole thing about like new dynamics and stuff, you throw an Indiana Jones Easter egg at me, and I'm like, that's so cool.
I didn't post it. I should have posted it on the Droids TikTok. It would have blown up. But if you look in the upper right-hand corner, there's the two of the stones, which you just happen can buy on the Disney shop at the moment. So I don't think they put them up for sale to be in reference to them being part of Andor, but it is kind of funny to me to...
Certainly see, didn't hurt.
To see them. And you know what? They've probably put them in the forefront of my mind, and... What do you know? Adding them to the order and the cart right now.
Mike, you love buying stuff.
I know. From Star Wars. I have a problem. But I love the nerves. I love the anxiety. And I loved his you know, cohort in the Antiquities Den talking him through it and basically saying there's nothing to do. This time tomorrow night, you'll find out what happens. Again, short scene, momentary scene, but just felt well acted, well written, and had me... completely enraptured with it.
Yeah, it seems like every scene has like that the actors didn't have to be like, so like, what am I playing here?
Yeah.
It's like it was clear, you know, I mean, not to get too hoity-toity, it's supposed to be like clear in the writing what they're playing. And it seems like every scene it was like, no, yeah, I get it. You know, like my character wants something and they're trying to get it. Like, I, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I just want to bask in it. I want to stay in this longer. I'm so glad I mentioned it last week that we get 12 episodes. I'm just so happy to let this again marinate like we talked about, because I just want to revisit it. I want to keep watching it. I'm more excited each week than I have been for any other new mm-hmm. show I've watched in a while.
Yeah.
And that's not even because it's Star Wars. I'm so excited to live with these characters. Ryan, I think we've covered basically what's happened in this episode. Anything you feel like you're anticipating out of this or expecting in the next few, obviously the mission, but like, where do you think some of this goes after what you've seen in the last two episodes?
You know, it really does keep me guessing. I'm so kind of enraptured with every moment to moment that I'm like not... At the end of every episode, I want to know what happens next, but I don't have this thing of like, oh, they like really left me hanging.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, you know, obviously they're building to the mission, but we're, what was this, episode five?
Mm-hmm.
Four? Five? So there's 12 episodes. Like, we're, even if the mission happens the next episode, if the mission happens next episode, it means that the show's not really about the mission. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we're less than halfway through this thing, and it has the feel of, although I don't know where the entire story is going, it definitely has the feel of an arc of like where I know that we're at, this sounds so stupid, but I know that we're at a certain point in a story, as opposed to, you know, with like Obi-Wan or especially Boba Fett, where you're like, has it started yet? You know, like has, and then it ended and you were like, I feel like it never really started. Mm-hmm. Like, it felt like it was all build and then like no anything. And this, it feels like we're at a point in an arc. It feels like every episode is exactly where they want us to be.
Yeah.
As opposed to this like guessing game of like, I don't know, it's episode four. I guess something big should happen or like whatever.
Yeah.
There's,
you know, the Rancor's on his way.
That being said, you know, I'm excited for like a wham bam kind of episode.
Yeah, I again, to me, all of this is meaningful world character building to get us to a more meaningful mission and experience in episode six and then onward. And,
right. Yeah.
And that's why we're getting these moments with Cyril. We're getting these moments with Mon Mothma where we're not necessarily going to see them all come to a T in the next episode, but then they're going to intertwine with the stories going forward after episode six.
Yeah.
So it's really just a wonderful thing, and I want so much more of it, and I'm so glad that they've invested in it, and I want Lucasfilm to know that there's a lot of love for this.
Yeah. Hey, Kathy, there's a lot of love for this out here.
It's actually nice
that like I don't even know if people like it or not.
Well, that's true. It is.
I know
weird
that we like it, but
it is weird just to feel like the conversation is not out there that much. And again,
it's like strangely exciting.
Yeah, it just feels wonderful. It feels like, again, to have Star Wars be, it's the thing that I'm experiencing in my own vacuum rather than dealing with it with the rest of the world's opinion at the same time.
Agreed.
Even though we're talking about it on a podcast.
Yeah, no, it makes it seem like it's like the, like I watch the show and it's about the show.
Yeah. Well, because what, we're not sitting here and having a outrage about how, what? There's no way that there's a lieutenant in the Empire who could be black. What, you know, that's not a storyline. There are no headlines being made from this. And maybe that has something to do with, you know, this isn't easily digestible. It isn't easily sussed or summed up in a 15-second TikTok that I don't think it's easier for this to trend in the same way, like I was talking about before. And that's a kind of a credit, again, to the writing, where you can't just come in with, what's your take on this? Well, my take on it needs to be probably at least 3 to 5 minutes long, and you're not going to just get some outrage from me very easily. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's also so overtly about what it's about that it's like, listen, if you're going to have a problem with that, like, you're not going to like this show. You know what I mean?
Where yeah, it's but, like, but they've, those groups have been able to find a way to make noise no matter what on most of these series.
Right, but I feel like a lot of the other shows, not to blame the shows, but like have like ridden the line where like these people who are complaining about it are like, if it wasn't for this thing, like this show would be for me. You know, like that whole thing, which is of course absurd. But this show so clearly telegraphed, like, this show is not for you.
Yeah,
that it's like, maybe, I don't know, maybe they were like, whatever, maybe they're screaming somewhere and we're just not listening. I don't know.
Maybe the internet has found a way to put them in, again, their own vacuum. They're in their own volume. So
yeah, truly, like, I don't know what people think of this show. I just, like, I know that we really like it. I know that like the reviews have been good, but I haven't even read that many of those. So maybe this is like the no context viewing that we've been looking for.
Yeah. Wow. You're right. It is odd. You know, as much as I can reveal some of my own social media habits, like I'll scroll through TikTok, and after Obi-Wan, it felt like every single episode I saw a dozen TikToks reacting to Obi-Wan episodes. There's very much a limited amount. Now, obviously the algorithm could be showing me something different. I have gone down a beekeeping rabbit hole. And so I see a lot of beekeeping stuff instead of actually Star Wars. But
how about that?
Yeah, no, I don't. I'm kidding. I don't have any beekeeping.
I'd love it if you did, though.
Wouldn't it be fun?
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah. Well, But I just mean it as like I feel like it was something you couldn't avoid. If you were someone who was engaging on Star Wars or movie TikTok, you were going to get something served up to you related to Obi-Wan. That's right. Not happening with Andor. And I'm sure people are still making a lot of content about it. But again, to me, it's like what is easily digestible, and there's not the did you see when Luke came and fucked this up?
Right.
So.
Yeah, yeah. I like it better this way.
Oh, I much prefer it, and I could watch this series every year. I would love for this to treat it in the old model of network television. Give me 9 seasons. Give me seasons where, you know, there's really not a point in the end of the season, but you still got some great episodes that were highly entertaining. Like, I'll take some of that.
Yeah, I'm down for that. Give me 22 episode seasons.
22 episodes, you know, one episode that's just about droids. Again, let's go back to the Clone Wars and have a droid-only episode.
Love it. Love it.
All right, Ryan. Well, we will be back again for episode 6. Hope to have more of the droids return with us. But, Ryan, it's always a pleasure to talk about the droids. You know, we get...
Same to you, Mike.
It's pretty straight-laced on this one. This is a little bit more straight-laced than most of them.
Yeah, we're a little bit less of silly gooses. I guess it goes to show that Chris is the problem. I guess that's it.
I think we might have to change the name of the button up boys are actually Yumi and Sam instead of just Sam and I.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I am a little subdued this week, but zoinks!
Let's get one in there at the end.
Yeah.
Well, that is going to do it for the Droids You're Looking For a Star Wars podcast. We will be back with more Andor to luxuriate in next week. What they throw.
Arnold?
You boys want to go to Aldani?
Did we talk about how... Has anyone been like, you could have this and or that?
No.